And you gonna murder this one and murder that one. Talking all that bullshit. I'm gonna put it to you like this, yo.
This is for the nerds. This is for the brainiacs. This is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back. You ain't gonna touch me. You not gonna do nothing. You are not above me. I bet you wish you was me. I know that I know.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends podcast. We are less one Conrad Simpson today. He's out in Chicago with the one and only Corgasm. They're going to be playing at Hammond, Indiana. Is that accurate?
Sounds accurate.
Is that where they're going?
That's a place in Indiana.
It seems like a place.
It is for sure.
They're chasing the chasing the rings, I guess. Going ring shopping, if you will.
Oh.
Does anyone in this room have a ring outside of Conrad?
Yeah, Landon.
You have one?
Last year.
Yeah.
Online?
1K circuit.
Corey has like seven.
Wow.
The 1K circuit where like there was six people left and everybody had around 10 to 13 big blinds.
Well, yeah, that's how the structure works. Landon, you don't have a ring?
No.
Why don't you have a ring?
Rude?
I thought you play tournaments.
I haven't played a lot of ring events.
Y'all rude, for real.
I actually, you know.
You'd do well in there.
I think I would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could be the Maurice Hawkins of this podcast.
Should I go for his record?
Yeah.
I think so. It's never too late, Tortoise. It's never too late.
Man.
Never too late. Should we send him to Cherokee? I feel like we need representation in Cherokee. Cherokee is like, when did Cherokee, North Carolina become the fucking Borgata of the East?
I think it's been. Like,
really?
People have always said Cherokee's like the best stop.
I mean, we did a lot of traveling in our day.
Back in the day. I mean, like, that's the thing. I don't travel now at all. Like, which, if you really want to, like, you know, win a bunch of rings, then you have to,
to
kind of travel the Midwest. I feel like.
Of course. Yeah. Move your ass back to Pittsburgh. It's going to be great. But my point is, Cherokee, North Carolina was never on the stop. It wasn't on the map.
Nah, Cherokee's cool
this
now.
This is what happens,
is
man.
Is this newish?
I mean, at least as long as I've been playing, it's been.
Well, that's newish.
4 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cherokee's cool now. Like, every time after Florida, that's the way it goes, is you go to Florida and then you go
to
Cherokee.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Apparently Tunica was special, too.
Tunica's sick.
Never been to Tunica, but there were rumors that
people
there were some,
it was great.
Some rogue gamblers out there.
There's like one, it's like a, there's like 1-3 cash games where everyone just has like 20K on the table.
Oh, man. Sounds like my dream.
Well, it also sounds like Texas.
Yeah. Tunica, Texas, same thing.
I think.
But it's different.
Yeah. I'm not sure. Ash Kardash was saying Tunica is special, but I thought they just played PLO there.
They play everything there, probably.
That's, I just know because Caitlin was just there.
Oh.
She won the ladies.
Is that where she got the...
She FT'd a different one.
So she has a ring. Landed
run
it.
Good.
A run good ring.
Hers is a run good ring.
Oh, what?
It's a ring. Clearly. A ring's a ring.
It's a mid-major ring.
Right.
Don't do this.
Okay. Hey, a ring's a ring.
A ring's a ring.
Married
a
to
ring
the on. Game.
That's right. If you would like your entire head in the shot, you might want to scoot your chair back a little bit. Just a smidgen.
You should stay.
I'm almost regretful of telling you to do this because that was quite the endeavor.
Danger.
Did you get yourself a new Stanley Cup?
I did. It was Berkey's suggestion because
one was not enough.
Yeah,
no, one is not
my
enough.
My other one, like, gets
you're like $200 deep in Stanley Cups.
They're $45 each. I don't know. Everyone's like, what, did you pay $1,000 for that? It's like, what do you mean? It's $45.
Right? What do you mean? But I would.
That's the same cost as
it's
like.
It's going to $1,000.
That's basically
though.
The cost of a Whopper these days is $45.
Just hold. It's going to $1,000.
Yeah, but I needed it because I need to like.
Wait a minute.
Sweat cycle them.
My fear is
makes
that
sense.
Because it's a black straw, the mold will not be seen.
That's that. I did get it, and I was like, this isn't great for mold. But
here's
well, you got to put it on a timeline.
You just
got on a schedule.
Just got to wash it once in a while.
Yeah, well,
that's easier
them,
said than
like,
done.
Every couple
it really
days.
Is.
Yeah, that's the beat. So I have three of these. Can't shout out to Jim Shark. No, not Jim Shark.
Ice Shaker.
Ice Shaker. They were on
Jim Shark
because both of them were on Shark Tank.
Yeah,
that's where I was thinking. Shark Tank product, incredible. Incredible double walled metal, no lead or whatever the fuck Stanley's giving you over here.
you ingest like Teflon pieces every day, so I don't know.
Makes you stronger.
Big dumb
I've been using the same two Nalgenes for like the last 8 years.
Yeah, but like you know, you're old and responsible. You like wash shit.
Yeah,
and stuff. So, like
no,
I got three
I have
of these.
One, and then the other one goes in the wash, and then you know. Back
that's
and
why
forth.
I got three of these. So mm-hmm. every 3 days, I rotate them through the dishwasher, because the problem is with these things is that there's a seal. And the seal is like this rubber gasket type thing, and it just gets moldy as fuck.
Yeah.
So I ordered 35 rubber seals. I might just fucking start throwing them away. Instead of worrying about washing the cup, I might just like trash the seals.
Clean the area
they make these
the
machines yeah. that wash them for you.
No, you know what? It doesn't do. It doesn't get the seal, man. I have to take the seal out, put it yeah. in the dishwasher separate.
You put the seal in, then it warps yeah. it.
No. It's not that it warps it. It's that if you put it in with the lid, it just like doesn't do a great job.
Yeah, the spores stick.
Like you just get the surface cleaning.
The
you
lid
know?
Comes off, right?
Yeah, but
you have to
right,
take
so,
the seal out of so the like, lid.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because if you just put it in, the soap and the water can't get into the seal.
There's a seal in here,
right?
And you know this one might be covered in mold right now. To be honest,
the first like
I mean
two
you
months,
haven't died yet.
The first 2 months I had my Stanley, I didn't wash it, and I was like, huh, this must be a friction mark from my straw. And then I realized it was like just
because
no.
like you're just drinking water. It's like who would ever think?
I mean, I put electrolytes in, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, even still, you know, that's just like salt, magnesium, whatever.
Backwash,
bro. It should sanitize it.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Salt.
Basically, shake it up. It's good to go. Yeah.
All the bacteria in your mouth.
When I started to realize was whenever. So I drink pre-workout out of this quite often. I started to notice like a significant change in flavor profile.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh man, I must just be getting used to my pre-workout because this doesn't taste as good as it used to. And I look and it's just like, oh no, we have a house of spores.
I started getting like my throat would like hurt and stuff. And I was like, what's going on?
Like, it sounds like a band name, and, House of Spores.
We're all adults here.
It's just full of mold.
I feel like this is something that a 12-year-old wouldn't fuck up. And right. like, we're just routinely.
Time just goes by and then
yeah, time flies.
No, the 12-year-old just like has whatever they have in their cup, and then they smell something, and then they just like smell it, and they're just like, and then just.
I mean, I don't know how often I've washed this. Probably not.
Never.
Right?
Maybe.
No, I go downstairs, but probably less than I should.
Okay.
Like it
smells
okay.
How's it smell? Good.
Fine. Tastes good. You know these
metal,
these sulfur Y water bottles are actually mold free.
What?
You can't. They're just.
Look at this sales.
They're mold resistant.
They're mold resistant is what I'm looking for.
Cook.
So you can go to academy.sulfury.io.
Cook
go to the
manager,
shop
cook.
And go ahead and get yourself one.
Wow.
You can really taste the mold.
How about that?
I apologize, guys. I have to delete the second link that we
tastes
had.
Tastes like
up.
Stacking chips.
He's just like vomit.
My fault.
It might have been my fault, but I don't think it was my fault.
I hope everybody enjoyed my music selection prior to the show.
Yeah, come to snuff the rooster.
You guys enjoy a little Alice in Chains in the intro?
Who said that was? Who in the chat said that was metal? This is grunge, baby. We're talking early
90s.
Mid-90s grunge. Seattle.
Grunge, baby.
yeah, good news is for people right. who are watching this out. In the replay, I'll be clipping out the 5-minute countdown.
We should just do that regularly.
No, it's a pain in the ass.
I do it.
What do you
for,
mean it's a pain in the ass?
I do it for the for
I'll do it
Spotify? For the audio. Yeah, for Spotify and Apple.
Can't you just do it within YouTube? Just
yeah, but it takes like a day to render.
So
it's off the market for a day.
No. I don't know if it affects the algorithm or not. I know that. Look, this episode's not going to be very well watched, so we can just pretty much do whatever we want. But also, it won't be monetized until it's actually clipped out. So like that whole time that it's rendering, it's just
all right. So
dead
miss
in the
out
water.
On like $2 or something.
Now listen, we make $85 on average per episode. Okay,
wow.
that's almost
okay,
what
so
we
it's
pay
probably
you.
Like less than $2.
It's almost
yeah,
what we pay you.
Almost.
If we can get these views to double, we can actually afford to have you in 5 days a week.
Wow. Yeah, guys, start watching. If
that's
the
thing. Maybe the views are higher when Melissa's on. So then maybe we actually make. I'll say on average we make $85, but maybe we make what she makes per episode. On her actual
he's
episodes.
Cooking, let him cook.
I'll check the numbers.
He's cooking.
You're going to crunch the numbers?
I'm going to crunch the numbers. Instinct tells me that's probably not the case.
Oh, wait. Okay, hold on. I have something important.
If not, you're getting a pay cut.
I have something really important. So last night I asked in the chat, mm-hmm. Berkey, can I apply you for The Bachelorette?
Right.
And I decided I am going to do that, and I'm going to
I misread that, by the way.
What?
I thought you were trying to apply me for The Bachelor.
You're talking about
you have to be on the show first in order to even get to be The Bachelor.
Okay. You're talking about the seniors one?
Because he's like, I'm too old. Maybe the Golden Bachelor.
I did not say I was too old. I said I was unattractive.
You said I'm old and a Pittsburgh 6.5.
Yeah, I followed that up with I'm too old and I'm a Pittsburgh 6.5.
You're a niche internet micro celebrity, and I think if I apply you to enough things, you'll get on. And think about how good for the podcast that would be.
That would be great for the podcast.
We would be in mainstream, probably.
That is true. I think I would do really well in Love Is Blind.
You got to talk to Lori Ann to get you on the show.
Well, I was thinking Love Is Blind.
She would teach me to win.
I was thinking Love Is Blind, but then I remember what you said about how you would scout, you would make friends with someone to scout out who's hot. And I was like, well, that kind of goes against the show's spirit.
Wait a minute, how does that work?
Well, okay, so here's my theory. I think I would do incredibly well because
I have a witty charm.
You would do
that. No, I just have a radio voice. And I think you
have a deep voice, yeah. And you would do
kind
well,
of face for radio.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ, Brian.
Gross. That's brutal, right?
That was mean. Your friend.
I have a good voice. So my strategy, Guapo, is you go in there and there's like a dozen guys, a dozen girls, whatever, right? And you go on these speed dates through each of the cubicles, so everybody meets each other, right? But what's clear is out of the gate, you have more chemistry with some than others. And a lot of the guys just like have no connection with a lot of these girls.
Yeah.
So what you do is you have the guys who admittedly say like, yeah, I have no connection with so-and-so, whatever. It's like, oh, okay. Well, I'd like to know a little more about so-and-so. So what I think you should do is start asking her a bunch of questions about her physical appearance, because it doesn't matter if you upset her.
But I think you can't, right?
No, you absolutely can't.
But I thought you meant that you were going to like make friends with one of the women then have her look at everybody and tell you.
Oh, I did say that originally.
Tell you who's
that's
hot.
Way smarter. Yeah.
That's way better.
Sorry, that's way smarter.
Yeah.
So you have no connection with the girl, and you just say like, "Hey, why don't you be a scout for me?
I'll tell you who's hot,
and I'll be a scout for you."
But I think that they wouldn't like that on the show because it really goes against.
I think another thing you can do is like find some like cute way to like play a game where you have to like jump, and if you feel the ground shake. If you feel the ground shake at all,
can she fit in a rowboat?
Can she? No, she can't fit in a rowboat.
I'm really glad you remember that, because that's way sharper than what I just came up with.
I'll send out a batch of applications, and one of them's going to pick you up. And then I think if you get an offer, you'll do it.
I probably will. I'm bored.
I know. I think because you said you would go on the Squid Game show.
I would love to go on Squid Game.
Squid Game would be awesome.
I definitely should apply.
We got to get you on one of these shows, because I think that's how we get this thing.
Yeah, that's
ground,
how we get the pod rolling, baby.
So they're going to go, oh, that's Berkey.
Well, because then it just becomes a reaction pod.
While you're at it. Can you apply me to maybe some of like the barbecue competition shows?
Yeah. Guys, let me know what you want to be on, and we'll get it done.
Landon, what about Landon? What would he
Landon,
be?
Landon, what do you want to be on?
I'm not bored these days. I'm too busy.
Okay, but if you like, weren't busy,
something has to do with anime. I don't know.
Anime, next anime star.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm. America's next anime star.
Right.
What a show.
Honestly, let's gaslight him. Telling him that he got accepted for American Ninja Warrior, so that like he just.
There you go.
Trains.
Yep.
Like just becomes an assassin over the next year.
And then we'll say, you know who else got on? J-Bex.
Yep.
And then he'll be like, oh, I'm in. I'm going to
Rumor is J-Bex is a much better athlete than you.
Yeah. What?
I'm just saying that's the rumors floating around. Ralph told me he can ball.
He looks like he's a good basketball
player. Ralph told you he can ball.
He's built like a good basketball player.
You're supposed to do a dunking contest.
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, I tore my ACL 70 years ago. I can't do it.
Well, we got bored.
It's not that I can't do it.
You can't do it.
Don't worry. They're going to dunk on J-Bex come August.
I definitely don't think I'm a favorite to dunk, but I have dunked in the past. The big thing that I didn't realize was going to be a holdup for this is...
Father time?
Well, that doesn't help. That definitely doesn't help. But previously, I had a 24-hour fitness membership, and it was right down the road, and they had a full-court basketball. That has since closed, and I didn't realize it, but like no gyms have basketball courts anymore. And I understand why.
Because of fights.
There was a fist fight in that fucking gym.
What?
Every single day.
But I want to go.
Heated on it. Heated about it. Basketball, huh?
Melissa wants to go watch.
I'll watch.
Legit, there's no place hornier for girls than watching a pickup basketball game. The amount of,
I don't know.
The amount of testosterone flowing through there.
They move and stuff is kind of like...
Yeah, but like
that's on them though.
That's on them.
That's the unathletic ones.
You get to pick and choose which okay. guys you're alpha. But like you can guarantee fucking tee someone's gonna get nose to nose at some point. There's gonna be pushing. There's gonna be shoving.
Why do I want to see them nose to nose?
It's just a very. It's just
yeah.
not kiss.
Yes.
Gonna see some kissing on
it's,
the court.
It's just a very.
Leave it all out there. Leave it all out.
I imagine this happening. We're like somebody gets in a fight. Melissa's in the back's like kiss.
They're kissing. They're like whoa.
Do you imagine they're nose to nose ready to just like throw blows and one just gives them a little peck on the
that
cheek?
Happens in the UFC
all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
That's good.
It's always the Brazilian. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I don't
Sarah
know
Herring's husband knocked somebody out for that.
Oh yeah, we've actually seen this clip.
Is
yeah.
he a fighter?
Guapo's played it before.
Yeah, he was fighting in Japan, and the guy got really close to him, nose to nose,
and kissed him.
He just kissed him, and then he just knocked him out before the fight even started.
That's so funny. Yeah.
Based. All right, so I have a question for you all posed by Chris Moneymaker, and to me this is I haven't eaten cereal in quite a long time but like this is always a telltale sign if somebody's a psychopath or not.
The milk.
Yeah.
Oh, this.
What it's goes in first, milk or cereal?
Cereal goes
first. Cereal.
Okay, yeah. Cereal. Who would ever choose milk? 95.7% cereal.
Yeah, of course. Because you need to cover all the pieces.
It's just very clear that 3% of people are fucking psycho.
It's funny. It's like, have you ever seen the thing where it's like, do you put both socks on and then your shoes? Or do you put one sock on, then a shoe, then both another socks. Sock, and then a shoe? Like, what are you talking about?
Like, these systems are simple. How do you find a way to fuck them up?
Right.
It's crazy.
These systems. These
I used to do my cereal. I would always have to let it sit, and I liked it mushy.
Oh, I just think about like mushy Lucky Charms.
I used to eat mushy rice, Cocoa Krispies.
I know some people that like eat cereal like with
Fruity
like
Pebbles.
never had milk. Just chocolate eat it dry.
Ones. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I've done that.
It's
before.
Just sugar.
I mean, yeah, it's true. Fruity, but like I think like if you're like snacking on it, but like pour it into a bowl and then eat it.
Oh,
dry.
That's a bit weird.
I mean, Fruity Pebbles are so good.
Yeah, using a spoon is a little unhinged, but like you know, Chex Mix is just cereal turned into a snack.
Pebbles
yeah.
are good mushy.
Pebbles are very good.
I had
mushy.
A cereal bowl where you put the milk in the cereal, but there's a straw attached to the bowl. So you could drink the cereal milk.
Yeah. Well, there's like, oh yeah, okay. I've seen
those.
They used
to have the cereal straws too.
Nothing's better than milk. Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk at the
CTCs.
End.
Like, oh.
CTCs. Apparently, that's what breast milk tastes like.
What the fuck?
What, like cinnamon?
No.
Apparently, it tastes like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Nobody believes that.
Way.
I think there's something wrong
with
there.
Well, you guys can try mine whenever.
We're just gonna order
a glass.
A glass.
One glass for the tiny house.
That's my payment for letting me use the tiny house.
That's a lot of pumping.
I want the placenta.
No, that's expensive.
It's very rich.
So was the tiny house.
It's very rich in HGH.
What if? Okay, what if you use some of the placenta profit for the tiny house?
I'm not selling it. I'm going to eat it.
Okay.
But apparently they're like $1,200 per square inch.
It's a lot.
I don't know where I heard.
You could probably get the. You
heard that from a placenta guy.
The tiny house. You can buy it back.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Or you could eat it.
I think I will eat it. Placenta sandwiches for everyone.
Do you cook it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think it's on the menu at Prime down at
yeah. Placenta?
Right next to the wake.
Wagyu.
While we're on the topic of cooking, let's take a look at who's cooking today in the poker Twitter sphere.
Nice segue. Jumped out with my soul leaking, going hard till I'm so eating. No chatting and no speaking, no
dapping with slow breathing. Damn, homie, you the man, homie. They can't do it. It was 71 in here.
All right, let's take a look. We got a couple people who are cooking today, and they're not only cooking, but they are cooking because they're not eating. One Josh Arye. Look at this glow up.
Wow.
Look at that definition in his arms.
Yeah, Landon Tice-esque glow up.
Check out that belt and the fucking tricep. There.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, got to give a shout out to the hair.
Yeah.
Bro has nice silver fox hair.
Yeah, like, he does.
This is a good
thick.
Head of hair.
He has thick hair.
While we're on,
great job,
Josh. We're really proud of you.
Good job, Josh.
Yeah, wait, hey, you're doing it, buddy. You're doing it. Another member of Team Lucky, one Sean D, but we kind of gave him his kudos whenever it first came out. You gotta scroll down, Guap.
I can't see.
Yeah, Guap, you gotta scroll. Guap, you gotta scroll. You gotta scroll down, Guap. You gotta scroll down. You still gotta scroll down, bro. You're not.
Why is he not scrolling down?
Why is he not scrolling down?
I don't know.
Hey, there it is.
I don't know what
you're
talking about.
We kind of gave him his kudos whenever he finally got the buyout, but his most recent interview just came out with Poker.org, and Craig Tapscott.
Wow, he looks much better with the grooming.
Yeah. So he was talking about how it was a part of the plan that he was going to grow the hair out, grow the beard out, because it counted as weight and added like density to the DEXA scan. So when he shaves it off, obviously now he just has more lean muscle mass. He was really gaming the system. He was ready for it. But he does claim that he's still going to try to get to 17%. We're all rooting for Sean. I spoke to him a little bit like a week ago or so. He said he's happy to come on at some point. So when we have a down day, definitely going to try to have that. But pretty sick glow up for him as well. Yeah. 315, I think, to 225, wow. 223-ish.
Sick.
Almost 100 pounds. Yeah. That's a human.
That's almost me.
Yeah, that's a full-blown human.
You lost a
Melissa. Yeah.
Almost. Wow.
Used to be.
Wow. Congratulations. It's amazing what $1 million would motivate a man to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
not like good health or...
And you could do that if you go on the dating show.
Can I?
Maybe.
I don't think there's going to be $1 million hanging at the end of the tunnel. And
well,
let's be honest.
Split it like 11 ways.
What's at the end of the tunnel is priceless. A happy life.
Oh, really?
You think your reality TV girlfriend.
Yeah, sure.
Yep.
I'm gonna end up like Chris Williamson off of Fuckboy Island or whatever the hell
He's gonna be on like 7 iterations of Bachelor in Paradise. This guy again? Isn't he aged out?
By bring
now?
Him back to the All Stars. Yeah.
Honestly, it's funny.
Isn't he aged out?
I kind of like cringe watch Chris Williamson's pod, but I actually really, I really like it. I think the reason why I cringe watch it is because he's just
I don't know who that is.
So he was on Love Island. And was just basically like a fuckboy kind of persona, whatever. And he's now turned podcaster.
See, our podcast could really get a boost from this.
Yes, of course. But what I really enjoy about him is he's actually like very like mindful, well-spoken, clearly relatively intelligent, does like... But he's also like kind of pilled in a certain direction. And like, you can't help it. If you do 300 episodes of a show, you're just going to kind of give your biases, whatever.
Yeah.
But the reason why I cringe watch him is because he's just like a fucking reality TV star turned podcast. Like he's a derivative of Rogan at this point.
Uh-huh.
It's just kind of funny to see, that path. We have one more person who's cooking.
Oh,
he wasn't cooking earlier this week. Earlier this week, he was in the muck. But now we find the man's wearing the chef hat. He's in the kitchen. Tom Dwan, congratulations for signing with ACR Poker. Man, they just have no fucking standards over there any longer. It's incredible. I mean, how in the same week do you have your CEO taking virtual dicks in the mouth and then immediately sign a guy who's on record as to owing 7 figures in the community? Like,
it is pretty insane.
The PR team over there needs as much of an over.
I think there is one.
I think
if there is,
if there is, he's cooking too.
I'll tell you this: if there's a PR team at ACR, they're sneaking a lot by the goalie. You know,
there is definitely not one. There's no chance. There is a PR team.
The PR team at ACR should meet the production team at Bally, yes. And they should go into business together to just run something into the ground.
In the world.
Just fucking incredible, man. I mean, who is making these high-level decisions? It's like the inmates are running
the
asylum.
It's the person that was just in that video.
Fair. Very fair point. Cook on, my friends. Yeah, cook on. The chefs are cooking with grease, and we're all here for it. Congratulations to everyone involved.
Cooking with grease. They're cooking with the grease trap.
They're cooking with grease, and Rudy's right behind them.
Yeah.
All right. One more question before we get into a more serious discussion.
Very serious.
How do you guys feel about paying the bubble in small buy-in events? You know, the camaraderie of it all.
Mm. Oh, that's not the point of it.
Kind of like checking in the dark.
Camaraderie is not what you do in tournaments.
I mean, it's kind of like checking in the dark. You know, it's fun.
It's like,
fun,
imagine if everybody,
you know,
in the main event gave the bubble boy $10.
Why don't we just chop on level one?
They give the bubble boy a
seat
buy-in.
Anyways, yeah. But that's part of the... Yeah.
You can roll the clip. Well,
kind of sick. Oh, you should play so much differently if you know you're getting a buy-in back.
He's in La La Land.
I mean, he's pulling double duty here.
I got you.
Scroll down.
If you're in that position, are you bubble in poker tournament? If you don't know what I'm talking about, a lot of times in smaller tournaments, only 15 people get paid, for example, and there's 16 left. It stays hand for hand forever. Finally, somebody just raises their hand and says, can we just agree to pay the bubble? So what they do is they take a small amount and they make it so a 16th person gets paid. That way, the tournament can continue on, no more hand for hand, and everybody's happy. Almost everybody. Obviously, if you have a short stack, this is a super easy decision. But if you're a chip leader, that money's coming out of your potential prize pool. If you're in that position, are you agreeing to pay the bubble, or are you saying no way? Do you agree to pay the bubble in poker
tournament? Nikki says it's not fun to pay the bubble. Apparently, she's never been the bubble boy. Mm. I got to tell you, it sounds like it would be a lot of fun to get a refund.
No,
you know?
She just final tables. why would she pay the bubble?
Who here has cashed the main? Me and LaManna? No one else? So you guys don't know the experience of the main event bubble?
Sick brag.
It's a fucking house party. It's literally a house party. There are 990 people not playing hands, walking around
that
the room.
Fun. I gotta get there this year.
Honestly, it's a block party. It's legitimately a block party. There's security.
You guys saw. I gave you the play-by-play. I was on the scene last year.
That is true.
On the scene.
That's true. There's 100 tables with security in the aisle. People are bumping elbows, walking. Hey, how you been?
Speaker.
How you been, Tim? Yeah, things are good. Yeah, things are great here. Yeah, just waiting for this fucking hand to play out.
Right, and everybody, you know? And all, like, the TD's just like, everybody, stay in your seats.
Yeah,
stay in your seats.
But like 700 people don't listen.
Do not stand on the chairs.
Never listen.
They're all trying to see what's going on. Yep. And then the second the bubble burst, it's an eruption of joy. A lot of fun.
Sounds fun.
Sounds like a ton of fun.
Experience it one day.
Maybe if we just paid the bubble boy, we could experience this fun faster.
They do pay the bubble boy.
I've never been in
a
tournament where someone was like, let's pay the bubble.
I actually have a funny story. This at the Brigada in like, I don't know, 2010, something like that. We were on the bubble of a 1K, and I had all the chips. And there was, like, I think 36 cash, 37 were left, and it was taking quite some time. So, of course, in typical East Coast fashion, and this is something that I like to reiterate as often as I can. Since moving to the West Coast, I notice a huge difference in the type of people I come across. Mm-hmm. On the West Coast, everybody appears incredibly nice. Mm-hmm. So the truth is that they are nice, but not friendly. Now, if you want to know what the difference between that is, nice is just a projection, right? It's just a tone,
or nice,
so to speak.
But not kind, maybe, is better.
Well, no,
friendly is sort of also a projection.
Well, I'm gonna flip it to the East Coast. Nothing about it. Well, maybe kind. I guess you could use kind. But anyway, you know, it's a layer. But the truth is, they want to cut your head off at all costs. On the East Coast, nobody is nice. No one is nice.
They're definitely
not
friendly.
Well, they are. The deep down, mm-hmm. they're looking out for their neighbors. They care about one another.
Yeah, they're kind. Friendly
kind,
is
okay.
More,
yeah.
You know, outward. Like,
I mean, they open doors. They,
like,
you know,
they're not going to introduce themselves to you, like, randomly.
No, of course not, because that would be nice.
That would be friendly.
Well, maybe.
Chat,
all right, fine.
Chat.
Fine. Whatever. If you want
to... It's kind.
Okay, fine.
Nice,
it's kind.
Yeah.
What the fuck ever? Jesus Christ.
It's an important distinction here.
I don't think it is. But anyway, the point is that they are very much themselves. They're very blunt. They're to the point. They'll let you have it. But they're doing it from the kindness of their heart, their goodness of their heart, whatever. So we're on the bubble of this 1K, and it's just me and a bunch of Jersey people. And I have all the chips, and they're like, let's pay the bubble. And I said, absolutely not. And now 35 angry people are letting me fucking have it. And I'm just like, play on. Finally, the bubble burst, whatever. I don't know where I ended up getting. But the next day, I was playing another event, and the guy who bubbled was at my table. And apparently,
of course he was.
And apparently, everybody who was left in the event, it must have been like a bigger buy-in. But everybody who was left in the event gave him $200, except for me. I was the only holdout. So he's at my table, and he tells me that everybody gave him $200. So, like, you know, 7K or whatever. And I go,
nice, congrats.
Okay. He goes, can I have it? And I paid this idiot.
Yeah,
I gave him $200.
Social pressure, man.
Yeah, I felt like a victim of social pressure. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe that happened. Maybe it was $100 or $80. I don't remember what it was, but the whole point was it was an insignificant amount of money, but I didn't even get my way. Because he got that money, I didn't get to play the fucking bubble anyway. It all got ruined.
Yeah.
So no, don't pay the fucking bubble.
He should have paid you $200.
Yeah, I agree. I got cheated as the chip leader.
You should find that guy and tell him.
I wish I knew who it was.
He owes you 400.
I have no fucking idea.
If he's in if you're in the chat, like, let us know.
Yeah. Under no circumstances does it make any sense to pay the bubble.
He will come bounty hunt you for $400.
This is what we sign up for. You know, somebody has to experience pain. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be the guy who soft bubbled.
Well, at what point does it end? Because now if you know the soft bubble's getting paid, is it the guy after that?
That's right. Tell him.
Is it the guy after that?
Breach.
Right.
Yeah. Is it the guy after that?
Right.
Or the guy after that?
Let's just chop level two.
It's funny because
as soon as you buy in, you can chop. Mm-hmm. As soon as you put $3,500 in, you can be like, you know what? I want my $3,500.
Well, well, it's kind of funny because the person who bubbles right before on the main event is actually the true bubble because for years now, that you know, the actual person who bubbles the stone bubble gets an entry into the next year's main event. So it's essentially they get like 10,000 in equity.
The good news is that it's rarely just one person; they often flip for it. So that's at least it's a little bit more fair.
Yeah, not that the fields are so huge.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you guys happen to catch Big Poppy's return to the mics?
He and Doug back at it again.
He and the Supreme Leader are locked in. They did a 2.5 hour podcast.
I'm not as interested in the podcast. Let me know when there's a 12-hour stream.
Agreed. Especially when the podcast is literally just like a timeline of everything we've covered in the last month and Doug getting most of the details wrong. Like, he's just kind of like, yeah, I mean, a GG. They should use an RNG instead of just having a predetermined river so that somebody can't hack it. And it's like, well, that's not what happened, but okay. Let's pretend like it was. But anyway, he did put out an issue, or he issued a challenge to Possible. And this, I actually think, is, like, really sharp for a couple reasons. One, I think it's, like, genius for Lodge marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. But two, I definitely think that it really puts the did he or did he not cheat question to bed. So Doug said he will stake Possible at 1-3 in similar games to what they were playing in Sacramento at the Lodge. Everybody's there splashing, playing deep, etc., etc. And Possible can keep whatever he wins. The whole thing that we'll try to take away from it is a similar sample and see if he plays rivers perfectly. Yeah. As he did in stones. I think it's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Very sharp.
Yeah. Matt and Doug on the same page. Bro, best bros.
This is genius.
Wait, how is this not just a free roll for Possible?
It is.
It is a free roll.
Why does he deserve a free roll?
Because we're paying him to admit to being a cheater.
Yeah,
He's not going to take it.
I don't like that at all. We all know he's a cheater. We don't need to give him extra money.
No.
Just for him to admit it. We know.
You can stake a turtle too.
Hold on, turtle. How much of a free roll is it to back a losing player to begin with?
I mean, a free roll is a free roll, you know? What if he runs hot?
Let him fucking run hot. Then he wins a couple thousand
Maybe
dollars.
Maybe he's not a losing player in a 1-3 game.
Oh, okay.
I'm just saying, it's a 1-3 game. Maybe he's not a losing player.
He's not standing for this.
No, he's not.
The most passionate I've seen.
He wants his goddamn free roll.
Where the fuck's my free roll?
Give the honest guy a free roll.
passionate about this or dark checking?
Where's my free money, Doug?
I think for a couple thousand dollars and free lodge promotion, because everybody will watch stream for sure.
Yeah.
That's a small price to pay.
It's also calling his bluff. Like, he's like, oh, I would win at the same rate. It's like, okay, no, show us.
He should just crossbook.
Huh?
Well, Puzzle doesn't have any money. If he had money, he would be paying Veronica.
Where's all that cheating money he got? Where'd that go?
I don't think we're gonna learn anything from him being on Poker Out Loud. You know, thoughts as valuable as what he possesses.
Okay, if I remember correctly,
he would definitely cheat Poker Out Loud.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
It's the easiest thing to cheat.
It is. He would not be playing music.
So I think that he has Queen 10 here. I'm actually gonna let this one go.
Well, I mean, he did do some hand review in the booth one time at Stones, where he said he had fuzzy feelings, he had feeler bets.
They were incredible. Honestly, like, you know, this is aging like sour milk, but if ever somebody, and the thing with the poker community is there's a lot of this that's like available for like people who want to create content but don't have their foot in the space yet. Like, if you're an amateur documentary maker, kind of like what Phil Galfond's been doing, obviously it's not specifically him, he has a team, but these like 19 minute long docs, you know, kind of like portraying poker history, like, oh, do you guys know about the lore of Isildur? Mm. It's like, well, your generation probably just doesn't. And that documentary does a lot to like bring it back to the forefront, where it's like, yeah, this guy was a fucking sicko, right? If somebody actually wants to put the time and effort in to comb back through 6 weeks of Joey live streaming 24/7, to go back through this Stones live coverage, to pull. I mean,
is like a compilation somewhere.
Somebody who's good at this could make a remarkable short documentary, like an incredible 30 minutes of just like must see TV.
Can I just say something real quick?
He's hung up on this free
roll. Where's my free roll?
Speaking of, you know, putting the milk in first and the psychoness of people. Did you see that clip? Was it possible drinking a salted rim martini? What kind of psychopath?
That is his worst
drinks
crime
a salted
yet.
Rim martini.
Straight to jail.
What the hell is going on?
You're right, Brian. Of all the things that he did, of all the crimes this man's committed.
Look, yeah, he is actually. Look, what's in
and
there?
A salted rim martini.
Maybe it's sugar.
It looks like a dirty martini.
Maybe
it's
sugar.
I mean, yeah,
sugar
in
a dirty martini?
In a martini?
I don't know anything about alcohol. I have no fucking clue.
Definitely not a thing.
Either way, if it's salt or sugar, that is weird.
Yeah. Or he's drinking a margarita in a martini glass. I don't know.
There's olives.
That's what I thought there was olives in there. Right?
Something tells me that that's more probable. You know, maybe they just didn't have...
And there were olives in there.
Okay. Well, he might have been hungry.
All right. Okay. You put olives in a margarita. That's more psychopathic.
It's even worse.
Than,
I'll take two olives in my margarita. Yeah. In a martini glass, too, please.
Tortoise has had enough of this shit.
Look at that. That's disgusting.
He's like, of all the most ridiculous... That looks like a lime to me.
Extra dirty martini with two olives and sugar on the rim, or salt.
Yeah, maybe it's bath salts. That could explain
it could
a lot.
Could be bath salts.
Maybe. Also, look at the void in his hat from where the device used to be.
Yeah, look at.
Oh my god!
Right. Oh my god! Yes,
bro. Are you serious?
No, for sure.
It's stretched.
Yeah,
for sure it's stretched.
It might still be in there.
It's probably in there.
You know, he's just ahead of his time. Neuralink is right around the road.
This bone conducting.
Oh my god! James Board brought a pair of them into Ivy's room way back, like 2015, and he goes, "You got to try this, mate."
I love that guy.
He's so great. He's so fucking. Honestly, he's one of the best people ever. But he's like, "You have to try this." I go, "What is it?" He's like, "Bone conducting headphones," and I'm like, "Okay." So he goes, "You put them on your temple." And I like put these things on and he turns the music on and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Loud.
It was turned up, so it was obviously loud, but it was the strangest sensation where it felt like the whole room was drowned out and nothing's covering my ears.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was a weird sensory experience.
I think we gotta try it. Yeah. You just gotta get one. Try it sometime.
Maybe we'll get them instead of these headphones for the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe
cacophony.
There wouldn't be any cacophony.
Am I the only one who hears like a very subtle echo?
I heard something.
Okay. I'm glad it wasn't just me.
I thought it was a man's voice or something.
What did you hear? The
last tangent, I swear. But there was this device that was being created, and I still think that it's like in the testing phase or the beta phase. But this was like 5 or 6 years ago when we first developed Poker Out Loud, and it's this. It's this like Bane mask that you wear with your phone propped in the front of it. Like you can't see it. Your phone's behind it though. And it allows you to have a fully silent conversation where only you and the person on the phone can hear.
Interesting.
But it, you know, crazy. Here we are 6 years later and it just never made it to the mass market.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that would have been an interesting
kind of cool.
You know, switch to Poker Out Loud.
Yeah.
Everybody's, you know, they give Ike shit. Imagine you show up in this fucking Darth Vader mask. I think it would be quite interesting. All right, let's get to today's In the Muck. Nice.
Okay, we are in the muck again. We got another user submission. This comes from... G Sarker? I don't know how you say that.
G Sarker
34.
Okay, they're playing in a 1-3 game, six-handed. Under the gun, goes ahead and opens to 10. And we have King 6 of spades, and we decide to 3-bet to 30. Folds back around to the original opener, who calls. And the flop comes 10 of spades, deuce of spades, 3 of hearts. So we flop a flush draw. Checks to us. We lead for Third putt, 20 into 64. We're met with a call. Turn, 5 of diamonds, now giving us a gutter to go with our flush draw. Check, and now we go pot for 100. And we're met with another call. Now the river, we brick out with a 7 of clubs. The board reads 10 of spades, deuce of spades, 3-5-7. And check to us, and we have pot behind, and we decide to check down.
Ooh.
And yeah, so he said, you know, he asked bluff question mark. He says post hand thoughts. I was setting up a river all in, but when he called the turn to my pot sizing, he said I chickened out because of a recent submission where missed flush draws are bad bluffs.
That's
Am I misplaying this principle? And they said, on the other hand, I unblock missed ace high flush draws, but wasn't sure if they were calling turn and thought that they would have check raise frequencies on the flop. The villain ended up having ace of spades, king of diamonds.
Ooh, interesting. Okay.
So ace high as well, called pot on the turn.
Because you're blocking the hands that you would want him to have, including like straight draws too.
Mm-hmm. I actually think both hands are played pretty reasonably. King six just fold pre.
Yeah, I was gonna say king six to an under a gun raise, like I was like it seems
get yourself out of the spot.
Probably not a three bet spot. I mean, king six is like the GTO kings, but not in this formation.
It's an open. It's open from low jack.
Turtle is cooking.
Opening this hand. We don't like three betting.
I think principally speaking,
GTO king.
You like that?
GTO king.
I think principally speaking, your spades that would want to go off here for three would tend to river a pair. So it's going to be like your lowish spades.
Yeah.
So like 7-6, 6-5. Basically, all these hands are going to end up being a pair on the end, and they're just going to have too much showdown value to bluff, I think. You very comfortably could double some of the like ace high, king high type hands, but the thing is that they are just kind of value betting, pushing a lot of equity. So if you have like king, queen of spades, ace, jack of spades, hands like that, you could probably double them. You could also just like not, specifically because what I'm going to get at is I think that we have a big bet option available to us on this flop.
I was thinking that.
I think high-low spades are going to be the ones that we want to choose, as well as like the small spades. So if we have like 4-5 of spades, 5-6 of spades, 6-7 of spades,
yeah.
I think those are going to be in there. And then I think like if we have some high-low combos, like ace-4 of spades, which is a gut shot, if we ever have the king-6 of spades, I think these are going to fit pretty nicely into the large 2E or 3E sizing that will be married with our jacks, queens, kings, and aces. Mm-hmm. And that will make for a very natural either check back on the turn or give up on the river. As played, though, I think that this is very fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
You know, fold pre. It sucks to lose the ace king high, but I actually think ace king plays his hand well because you shouldn't be doubling for pot very often with the nut flush draw, and he blocks ace four, ace five that could potentially be doing it for value.
What was the turn card?
The five. Four or five?
Five of diamonds. Yeah. So ace four does get there.
Right, but he now blocks that having the ace of spades. So like him having the ace of spades is actually a pretty good event because you're not doubling for pot really with many nut flush draws.
Right.
When you do, they're either pair plus or straight.
So when he goes pot, like, so I would think like, so if I'm sitting there with the ace of spades in my hand as the villain in this situation and now he bets pot, I'm thinking that like he's more concentrated to the over pairs as to the nut flush draws because I'm blocking that. So that would make me want to fold the ace king.
The nut flush draws just aren't really going to do this very often.
They're just not going to pot turn.
Check back equity position.
Yeah. And because like your nut flush draws should be like ace jack, ace queen, ace king, right? Mm-hmm. And then the other ones.
You also just like win it. Like you have showdown value with those too.
Right. So they have a fair amount of showdown value, especially coming through the small flop size. And then the other ones are going to be your wheel aces, which are now straights and pairs.
Yeah.
So kind of the same thing.
Okay.
And now like if any of them are going to bet pot on the turn, it's probably going to be more the wheel ones, which it's now nice to block. Mm-hmm. Right. Because now your outs are a lot more clean.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're right that he's going to have a concentration to over pairs. But remember, he also chose the small size on the flop. So that's
it probably doesn't jacks and queens would not want to go small on that flop.
He'll have over pairs for that size, but a lower concentration of them, I would think.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think, Mr. Simboy? How do you feel about our analysis before we go to the wizard?
Yeah, do we?
Some things right, some things less right.
King six is the GTO king.
King six,
right?
That you could take that one to the bank, Brian. So when it comes to flop strategy,
Brando, I don't want to interrupt you, buddy. Can you share your screen?
I thought I did. Did I not share my screen?
No, we just have us. They don't want to see us. They want to see the wizard.
All right, I share the screen.
You share screen.
Is pre-flop what's?
Pre-flop is a fold pre, so I gave a quarter. I gave it 25%.
Okay.
Pre-flop fold pre. Good job, guys.
Thank you.
Floating me. You're welcome. So this is the theory one, and then this one over here is the custom size. Like B30 is not the right size, but we're kind of splitting hairs. This is B30.
But so the size.
This is theory likes for one sizing like dynamic strategy, 40% pot, okay. And it's because the three and the deuce are so low that we don't have to leverage flop. We can leverage turn where they're gonna have a lot of middling pairs that have to peel or like not peel and be mad already versus 40, where like you call sixes with no spade on flop. What are we hoping for? Like sometimes you turn equity and then you face pot. It's like, well.
Right.
Fuck me. So you just fold if you don't have a spade, facing B40 for the low jack player, as well as check raising a lot of the ace highs that you guys were saying was going to happen, and as well as what's his name? Sparker? Parker?
Sparky.
Sparky.
Sparky 34.
Yeah, Sparky 34. So they're mostly going to check raise like the ace X with over cards to the 10, like ace jack being a nice one, ace queen being a nice one, and then ace king for out of position, still mostly floating, sometimes raising if they have a spade in their hand, where you have extra equity, you can make a flush on some runouts. But he goes B30, which is obviously not that big of a deal. The EV difference is going to be nothing. So we can just like go to the custom sim, B30, base call, turn 5. So when under the gun or low jack checks, we see here that we're playing roughly a geometric strategy on the turn of pot or check, king six being a pure barrel, which is, these spots always kind of mess me up where I would think like, oh, sometimes I might want to check this hand because we have so much equity with a gutter and a flush draw where if we pot and get jammed on, that's really nasty because now we have to fold all of our equity, which ends up happening facing like if we do go pot and he jams.
I would imagine it's based off of like what he jams though. Like we're just not doing well even with the gut shot and flush draw there.
Yeah, like our high cards suck.
Well, he's supposed to jam. We're also just getting it in versus potentially dominating flush draws like ace, queen, of spades.
That's my point. Our equity's not doing well versus the hands that choose to jam. It's like sets and then bigger flush draws.
So you're saying we're not actually folding as much equity as it appears.
We weren't going to realize like what we're sacrificing in realization was actually kind of dirty anyway.
Yeah, the only like swell thing that happens almost never is ace five of clubs like decides to just go all in
off
because why not.
Landon, this is the theory tab we're looking at, right?
Yeah Okay. this is the practical tab where I mean he bet pot on the turn as well, so like he chose a good size on the turn, like the theory tab would also is also potting the turn, like here king six, you're potting when you have spades. You don't want hearts because you want him to have the backdoor hearts that call the flop 40 and then fold the turn, so hearts are a very nasty turn barrel, bad idea, don't do that. Sometimes you make a straight with a four and cooler an ace anyways, and that's nice, but then the other suits are better. But when it looks at like, I think it's also a stack depth thing where at 150 and you pot and get jammed on versus at 100, if you go smaller and get jammed on, you're folding out maybe a little bit more equity or things along those lines,
right?
But I can it's probably just like a stack depth thing where at 200 when you get the jam, when they jam on you, it's like what Matt is saying with all the better hands that you're not folding that much equity away, and you are benefiting a lot from getting like pocket nines to fold, getting ace highs to fold, which is going to happen more at that stack depth. So we go back to the theory tab. So we bet pot and under the gun has ace king, actually folds on the turn. So he can't call the turn. If he wanted to play a jam with a low frequency jam with the ace of spades, king of hearts, as you can see here in this bottom corner, you can do that if you want. But part of the issue being like what Brian is talking about, where if you look at the hijack range, the pot is going to be mostly queens plus, like the over pairs, 10x, as well as your ace out not being clean or your king out even, because 10x, king 10, ace 10 is mostly going to be barreling the turn. So if you river a king or an ace, your out is actually just dead. Right. So ace king actually has to start folding the turn for under the gun. But on a seven, when under the gun checks, the hijack actually pure checks the king six of spades because it's a bad bluff.
Hey, look at that.
Like you guys were talking about. And same thing here. Like the only difference between the theory sim and the practical sim in this spot was just the flop size being 30% versus 40 because he chose a good size on the turn. Where in some other examples, sometimes people go a little bit too small and like they go B67 on the turn.
Right.
That's going to give a little bit of a different output. But this one's like very close.
Hey,
almost
Lynn,
perfect.
You should take a lot of pride in this. Well, this man may have been a little out of line pre, and I'll take responsibility for that. You know what? G-Man.
Sparky.
G-Man?
G-Sarker.
G-Spot 27. I will take full responsibility for you being a little too wide in this 3-bet node, because you know what? I'm fucking here for it. If you're playing small stakes...
You've done this many
times.
This
guy did not 4-bet ace-king. Fuck these guys.
Right. That's the thing. No, that's
fuck
why...
Fuck them.
You're absolutely right. This is why you can do... You can, Jack. You can really expand your range in these like smaller...
Look, here's the thing.
Because I'm not looking at you like...
You guys are pussies, okay? Look, you guys are cowards.
Well, tell me, I can't play 6-5 suited properly.
I have a bone to pick with that. We just simply respect the early position open.
Respect the low jack.
But you shouldn't. You shouldn't, because a couple good things happen. One,
okay, boomer.
One, they don't 4-bet enough. You don't get to call me old whenever you're fucking not out there doing it. One, they don't 4-bet enough. And two, they don't 4-bet enough. But, so when 10s fold behind you and ace-king doesn't 4-bet versus you, it's just a positive
event.
It mixes,
event. Though. Mm-hmm. It's not supposed to always 4-bet you.
Yeah, it mixes if you know what the fuck you're doing. But if you have no idea what you're doing, you just call ace-king.
If you have no
idea
what you're doing, you should 4-bet?
Yes, absolutely. You don't want to forego the value of ace-king because you might fold it later. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't know what you're doing, you're probably going to check fold a later street.
But they actually didn't.
Well, yeah,
which is kind of funny in this
situation.
Which
ironically also ends up being, a mistake.
Right, they were supposed to fold a turn, and then they didn't. And that's what makes this the non-bluff is fine. It's like when you see ace-king, you're like, if I had just jammed, he would have folded ace-king, I think. But, you know, the fact that... like he's just supposed to have hands that by the time you get to the river, he's supposed to have hands that aren't going to fold to your bluff enough.
The point I'm trying to make here is like, look, I like to see people out there in the mix trying to do the damn thing and put people in tough spots. And what's most important that I think is worth recognizing is that the people behind him are nowhere near close to 4-betting appropriately. Like when nines and tens are just auto mucking always when they see raise 3-bet, that's a really good event for whatever.
Versus those two, it's supposed to. Nine. You're not supposed to 4-bet nine.
What's this supposed to bullshit?
Man, it's called a chart. You ever read one?
It's called a chart, boomer.
It's very scary in the spot.
It's really tight range.
To like when you look at the turn, even.
You know what? I'm piling in. Give me JBEX.
Like when
just give me fucking JBEX. I want all the JBEX stock. I'm shorting Landon so fucking hard. Like,
no, bro, I'm just looking at this response. Like when you pot the turn, they're supposed to like pure fold jacks and queens are supposed to mix.
This shit doesn't happen.
Yeah, I'm not saying it does. It's just like very interesting. Like it's just the hijack is supposed to be pretty tight with the rake structure, and when they barrel the turn, it's mostly going
to
be like
right now. Let's get out of Delulu land for a second. Let's come back to reality.
It's very
what,
weird, right?
What
you
pot ace
10 and you get queens to fold.
What happens is
that is weird.
What are we doing here? It is rather odd.
Well,
I don't think that
because
happens.
The machine is as afraid as their range as you guys are.
But I'm not afraid. It's just respectable.
It's not fear. It's respect.
Okay, I'm glad you guys are framing it that way, because if you go down to the local casino and sit in a 1-3 or 2-5 game and look any one of those motherfuckers in the face and decide to respect them, that's on you.
I respect the average old guys under the gun open.
You shouldn't. You really should.
Yeah, you should.
And we don't know this guy's
maybe
old.
Maybe you gotta go play 1-3.
Yeah, we don't
maybe
know.
You gotta go play 1-3.
We don't. How did you think I got here? You think that
you
I
said
just
you've
fucking
never
jumped
played 1-2 in your life?
I said that I would never go play 1-2.
No, I think you pretty much
said
you've
never
played
it.
I never have played it like for a living.
Right.
No.
It's time to start.
I was smart.
It's time to start.
But I played plenty of 1-2. What I'm getting at here is, first of all, we don't know this guy's old. Second of all,
no,
like the idea, the idea of respecting ranges comes from the notion of those ranges being studied. Like, yeah, of course, if that's a super pro opening under the gun, you 3-bet king 6 suited.
Positions like one of the first things people learn about. They're like, oh, tight, firm under the gun.
I don't mind the 3-bet for what it's worth. I thought it was going to potentially be in there a little bit, but more so just like looking at the response.
I don't think it's ever in but...
I think the bigger point that Berkey's trying to make is that, like, when you expand your 3-bet range or you get a little out of line in these games, it's fine because you're not going to get punished for it at the rate that you should.
Well, it's also when it comes to 3-betting in the first place, like you're 3-betting at X frequency and maybe you don't 3-bet ace 8 suited, but then like you find king 6 or whatever.
Right.
Like the point just being like trying to find more 3-bets is going to serve you well.
Generally, yeah. I just think it's a fuck around and find out type of strategy. Like, when you guys start doing something about it, I will stop being fucking out of line. But until then, here we are.
Well, yeah, if it's you, then you just 4-bet.
Sure. But I mean,
like
that's
if you're 3-betting, you just 4-bet.
But that's like the beauty, right?
Just
it's not
stuff it.
But
stuff it.
What's he gonna do with his friggin' 7-6 offsuit or whatever the hell he has?
7-6 offsuit.
Some
he's
nasty
really
ass limp raise that he did like from under the gun.
Keep advertising for me. But anyway, the bigger point I was trying to take away, Landon, is you should be very proud. We are maybe 25 in the mucks in, and this man has clearly been paying attention to your astute.
Yeah.
Wizardry.
Mm-hmm.
The give ups.
And he immediately heard Landon Tice in his head say, no, don't bluff this one on the
river.
This
is a bad combo.
Bad combo. Bad cards.
Combo.
Bad cards.
Combo.
Why do I sound like that?
I don't know. You tell me.
I can't.
It's when you do your falsetto.
I always sing like this in the morning.
It's a bad combo. I gotta go to the gym.
I think I gotta shit. So yes, you should be proud of yourself, Landon. You've bestowed wisdom upon the casual viewer now. So big shout out to G-Spot67 for getting this one right.
You did good.
The wizard agrees. How did I say 67, not 69, man? I fucking blew that one.
You did.
Blew it.
That's on me, guys. I'm sorry. That makes me the asshole, which actually... Before we segue into that, I got to remind everybody, if you guys would like to use Wizard AI the way that we have been doing in the Muck segment, feel free to hit hashtag wizard in the chat, follow that affiliate link, and be sure to sign up for many, many, many years, because this tool is absolutely fundamental to your learning. If you'd like to submit your own In the Muck, be sure to head over to our Discord channel. You can hit hashtag Discord in the chat or visit us at SolveForYTV on Twitter. It's our pinned comment. Follow that to our Discord channel. You will see an In the Muck forum where you can submit any and all of your In the Muck hand histories. Be sure to give us a little bit of a story. Let us know why you feel like you're in the muck. You know, treat this a bit like Dear Abby, if you will. Only instead, it's Dear Child of the Sim.
Oh, also, there's a feature on Discord that I didn't even know about, but you can like redact part of your your message. So he redacted the the reveal of the other hand, and then also his thoughts.
Okay.
So then you can go ahead and give your thoughts without reading his and be biased. Then you just click on it and it reveals what he was thinking.
Spoiler, if you will.
Yeah. Right. So that's a pretty cool feature that I didn't know that they had.
What were you gonna say, Landon?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, while we're talking about assholes, since I am one, let's get into this final Reddit segment that we've been trying. This is the third time we've titled the show. Tell me your wreck without telling me. Mm-hmm. We're finally getting to this
Nikki
segment.
Nikki said, fucking do it because I'm not changing the title. Yeah.
She basically, in as nicely way as possible, yelled at us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when she yells at us, mom's mad. We're gonna do what she says.
So we're here.
We don't want to get grounded.
So we have a couple of Am I the Assholes, all Mommy poker themed, and then finally the Tell Me Your Wreck Without Telling Me line. So the first one is, Am I the Asshole for Stealing My Brother's Dog? Now, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I can give you a brief synopsis. Basically, two brothers, 124, 126, very close.
Wait, this isn't poker.
Oh, it is. Don't worry.
Okay.
he lost the dog.
He lost her bet.
Both very close in age and seem to be very close individuals. They got drunk one night, started playing a little Texas Hold'em, sounds like with wild cards, or maybe this is just the most ridiculous hand of all time, but And also, maybe they don't. Well, I guess it could have been a steel wheel. So it appears as though the stakes got high. They were not playing table stakes. And the older brother bet his dog, which, to give a little precursor to this, the younger brother had been watching the dog, had grown very attached to it.
That's wanted, the ultimate penny jar.
Right. Wanted to get his own dog, but couldn't really find one that he was vibing with, you know? So he's holding a straight flush versus his brother's quad aces, and he accepted the bet of the dog.
It sounds like a movie.
Won, and then showed up the next day to collect. Now, his brother flipped out on him. They had a heated yelling match, told him he wasn't taking the dog, and then said that it was a fake, it was a joke bet.
Oh, that's, you know, like,
no. Not a real bet.
He free-rolled him.
So I stole the dog. I put him in my car and drove him home.
As you should, King.
Don't worry. I bought food and toys for him already. About 4 hours later, I got a bunch of angry texts from my brother. He was telling me he was on his way to get the dog back. I got pissed. I won the dog fair and square.
He did win the dog.
Yeah, he won the dog.
And it's only been his dog for a year. It's not like a lifelong pet or anything. That's what the...
The dog is his now.
That's what
no,
this says.
No. So, you cannot...
The guy should not have bet his dog.
Okay, well, how about the dog? The dog doesn't get a say?
No, it's a dog.
What the fuck? You just gonna steal the dog?
Yeah. Like,
what if I just stole you and gave you to a different family? How would
that
you
would
feel?
Be kidnapped.
That's
right,
trafficking,
that's exactly
sir.
What this is.
No, it's not.
No, it's not.
I'm calling PETA.
It's not dog napping.
It's not dog napping. The dog was
it's
offered.
Not. He bet his dog, and if he didn't mm-hmm. mean it, then he was free rolling his brother, which is not
yeah.
nice.
No,
which is not cool.
He
or
probably
cool
was free rolling him, but I don't think you can just steal the other dog.
It's not stealing. He's taking his property.
It's not stealing.
He's repo manning.
It's like
he's
what
repo.
If it's like what if you bet your car?
Yeah, then you go just
it's
talking
an
about
inanimate
a dog.
Object.
Oh, I lost. Just
it's
kidding.
Yeah, one like one is an actual.
Okay,
you know,
so where's the line? What about a hamster?
Okay, but no, but here's okay. But if he treats the dog well, it's not like he's gonna.
Yeah, he was not, watching the dog. He formed an attachment.
If he treats
it,
if he makes
not gonna,
it,
like,
he treats the dog
it
worse, then yeah, it's a bad idea.
Purposes.
Tell me you guys don't have dogs without telling me you don't have dogs.
Right, exactly.
You wouldn't bet your dog.
I have a dog. Exactly.
You
I
would not
bet
Gatsby.
I would know that quad aces could lose to a straight flush.
I would never bet him.
But this is the point. That's on him.
If you really love your dog, you'd never bet your dog.
Hmm, I see.
But he didn't. He was joking.
So the dog is going to someone who maybe loves him more.
I think he loved the dog. He probably just didn't know that he didn't have the absolute nuts.
That's on him for not knowing the game.
Yeah.
Don't hate the player. Hate the game.
They were also under the influence.
I don't care.
And they're brothers.
I don't care.
I don't care.
Wow. Letter of the law lady over here.
It's just like, well, he was free rolling his brother if he didn't actually mean it.
Yeah.
And that's not chill.
Why not?
It's not cooking.
What was the other side? So if he won, he got what?
We don't know. It didn't say.
He got the dog.
It doesn't really matter because I'm sure
he's already a free-roll.
The steel wheel and says, "What else you want to bet?"
I know. It was kind of like when I would throw the penny jar up there. It's like, I don't give a fuck what you guys want to bet. I will match anything on earth, and you guys have to just, you know, back down at that point.
The dog belongs to the brother now.
I think he's the asshole. I think that...
You know what I think he should do? He should get the dog, and then he should sell the dog back.
Here's the thing.
Oh, there you go.
I actually agree
you
with that.
Buy the
I think
dog
that's
back.
Reasonable, but...
How much
that
is, what
is
dog
reasonable.
Equity? How much is the dog worth?
Well, it depends on what stakes they were originally playing, I think.
How maybe many buy-ins is a dog?
Right. but the more important thing
like
100
is... Big blinds.
The reason I think he's an asshole is
at
not
least.
Because he stole... Well, it's a little bit because he stole the dog, but I also think he's just generally the asshole because he sounds like he has absolutely no idea... of social norms or
I think it's fine.
Or like how any sort of interaction
steals dog.
Yeah, or like how any sort of interaction between human like this whole story details in great length how in one way or another he was gonna get this fucking dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He wanted the dog and he found a way. He made it happen. Dude, without napping, without stealing, he said, "Do you want to bet your dog?"
An agreement.
He's an uncle, not the parent, you know, like this stuff, it's not okay.
You wouldn't bet your child.
But really, what's the line? Like if it's not, you know, is it a guinea pig? Like, would that be unethical?
I don't know. I mean, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a dog.
Yeah, but hypothetically speaking,
I don't deal in hypotheticals.
Someone in the chat is looking pretty funny, actually. If he's willing to steal the dog, he's willing to stack the deck, too.
Oh, shit.
He didn't steal
it. Oh, we didn't even know. We didn't even think about that. This motherfucker's a mechanic.
What if he coolered his brother to steal the dog?
Yeah. What if it was all one? And what if he wasn't even drunk?
Right.
He's just in there feeding them shots.
Got his brother all liquored up.
Okay, then we're really dealing in hypotheticals. Right? I thought we didn't
How much is a dog worth? Like, how much, if you were to bet Rudy,
how much
and you get stacked?
Like, if, how much I would sell him for?
No, like in the sense of someone, like, we were playing poker.
And he has probably, like, 2 years left.
We were playing poker, and then you said, I'll bet Rudy. And I said, okay, fine. But then
500K. Like,
You'd
give me $500,000?
You would give me 500K for Rudy.
No, but I stacked you. So then you would have to pay 500K to get Rudy back.
Mm. No, I never bet him in the first place.
What if you did?
I didn't.
Okay. Well, this is going nowhere.
Rational dog owner.
The line, by the way, the line is, does it have fur? If it has fur, then you can't. You can't steal it.
Children don't have fur.
A mouse?
Mouse you can't steal.
Can't steal a mouse.
If he's like a pet cricket,
okay, what
have
about
at
one
it.
Of those furry caterpillars?
His fur.
Until it becomes a
tarantula. Tarantula? 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 Can't steal it.
Can't
what
steal
about
it.
A snake?
Snake doesn't have fur.
Yeah,
take
have
the
it.
Snake.
Actually, you're doing everyone a favor. Take the fucking snake.
Snakes are expensive.
Mm-hmm. No. More the more
we were
going to
start
it.
Our breeding business, snakes and steaks.
All right,
snakes
so second question, is Melissa the asshole for owning a fucking snake?
No.
Remember when he escaped and I was like, guys?
There's a snake
he wrapped
somewhere.
Around. He wrapped
pretty bird.
I promise you, you're not going to like the end result if that snake escapes in
he
the house.
He did escape.
No, but I mean like actually but gets out of your room.
No, he wouldn't. He likes the heating.
He wrapped around my chair once. I didn't know what to do. I was like, Melissa, get your snake. Get your snake.
Yeah, I had to come down and unwrap him from the
I'm
of the
very
chair.
Confident that Gatsby will put an end to that thing. He may not got
he's
much fight
around,
back in him.
He's been out around Gatsby and Scout.
It's a dangerous game
Scout,
you're playing.
Scout actually will sometimes go up to his cage and growl, but then when he's out, she doesn't do
it. She's not going to do it. She's Chihuahua.
I've had Rudy on the bed with the snake, and he doesn't even notice that it's alive.
I have a high degree of confidence. Gatsby doesn't have a lot of fight left in him, but taking on a little 2 foot boa is going to be one
it's
of the
not
ones.
Not 2 feet, he's 6 feet.
6 feet?
He's grown.
Get out of my
he's
house.
Now, the snake's cool.
He's grown.
The snake doesn't
he
even
doesn't
escape.
Bother you.
Let the snake cook.
He just
When's
relaxes.
The last time you saw the snake?
Who cares? I don't ever
relaxes.
Want to. I forget that it's there all the time.
Yeah, exactly. That's the point.
Thank God. All right. Total at escapes. What age would you teach your children poker, or would you even? My 6-year-old has been asking lately when he notices me playing on the apps, why does the Hilton Hotel call me every fucking day? Leave me alone. and I just try to say it's a grown-up game. He learned Uno and is probably an 800 plus chess rating. I think he'll become a really good player if he can manage not tilting. His 8-year-old.
He's 6.
His 8-year-old fucking tilt or 6, whatever.
You know?
He becomes stoic at 6.
He does not he's get really six. Upset in losing chess Uno video games, so tilt could... Oh, he does get really upset, so tilt could be an issue. Of course, he's fucking 6.
Yeah.
Losing's
I mean,
not fun.
If there's a 6-year-old that doesn't get upset at losing, that's very rare.
I actually think... My opinion is I would teach my kids in like very, very young the game of poker. I think as far as the logic game goes, it's like one of the top like frameworks that you can offer somebody, especially if you teach it to them through the lens of not gambling.
Right.
Because there are answers. Knowing that there are answers to each hand, I think is very appealing to even young kids, especially whenever the alternative is just like, I don't want to fold. I'm too curious. Let's push all our money in the middle.
Right. Like you could do it like where like you're playing with chips, but the chips don't have any value. Right. It's just like, I want to try to win all the red chips or all the blue chips. And then, so it's like the gambling is not part of it.
Oh,
right?
Well,
they'll still be
sweet,
gambling,
Brian.
But it's more like you teach
cute.
Them the
Why
equity.
Is that sweet?
Oh, Brian's trying to teach he's trying to groom the next regs at the Jewel of the South. I was thinking I'd put this motherfucker on the trainer with like 4 tables going at once.
Oh, there you go.
There we go.
Just be like, all right, kid, get to work.
Well, yeah, you'll have a kid that can play high rollers at 21.
At 9?
Well, I mean, he can't play them yet. So you hone his ability.
Man.
You
Sean,
teach him.
Sean Winter
v.
found a way to be in action by the time he was 11.
Yeah, I mean, sure, you could play like find ways to play online. And
that guy's fucking spooky.
But like when you put him in the live scene at 18 in Florida, like at WPTs.
Man, it's weird because like on one hand,
you've got a killer.
On one hand, you're right. That does sound like a real check to cash. But on the other hand,
at what
it
cost?
Sounds like the cost of like this kid's never ever going to see a woman naked.
No.
For sure.
It's like the Marley ICM. Like, well, once you learn ICM, you
maybe
lose
when he's like 35.
Well, might have to pay for it.
No, but he might be.
He'll have money to.
He might be
That's
rich,
true.
Though. He'll be like a rich 12-year-old. He'll be cool and cooking.
No. 12-year-olds should not have that level of wealth or power.
Imagine, like, if a 12-year-old has like $1,000.
Have you seen
like bar mitzvah money?
Have you seen children actors? Have you seen how they all panned out?
Like, my cousin's a child actor.
Well, how's he doing?
He's cool and cooking. He's doing well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Must not have been very successful.
A few years.
He was in a movie with Adam Sandler, actually.
Oh, nice. Really? Was he one of the kids who wiped his own ass?
Yes, he was not one of the Sprouse twins.
Oh,
he was a Sprouse adjacent.
he was the butt double when they were wiping their own ass. Yeah. I wipe my own ass.
It's a good movie.
It is a great movie, Big Daddy. Fantastic movie. But yeah, like, you know, Drew Barrymore. Did I say more? She's doing coke at like 9.
I don't know about it.
Hilary Duff's doing okay.
Hilary Duff is doing okay. They just canceled How I Met Your Father. Very okay. upset about that. I know you don't care.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
Oh no, yeah. How am I going to recover?
Jeez, what the hell am I going to do now?
Terrible sitcom ended. What do we do?
You're 6 seasons into fucking Love is Blind. Don't start with me.
So are you.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
I watched the first season. He's only on season four. I watched the first season, and then I've watched...
I think I've watched 3 seasons.
I've watched 2 episodes of the last one.
Is it worth watching?
No.
Obviously, if you're 6 seasons in, yeah.
I haven't watched all 6,
because Michelle was like,
though.
Oh, new season of Love is Blind comes out, and I was like, eh.
It's not very good. Yeah. The only good part was like...
He just doesn't like it because he doesn't think anyone's hot.
No. The woman that somehow... Yes, she's incredible.
Wait a minute. Which one do you think is hot?
The mom.
Only hot.
The like 27-year-old mom.
Okay.
She's gorgeous. Mommy. Just absolutely stunning. Whatever, 28. Stunning. And the girl who said that she looks like...
Megan Fox.
There's a meme going around that says,
"Oh, I see. Oh, I've seen that."
She's actually telling the truth. She just meant she looks like Megan Fox is on Jay Leno's head.
Yes,
which is so mean. So like, fucking mean.
It's like I'm gonna tell my kids this is Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly. I'm sure you've seen that meme.
I mean, to be fair, the guy that she got matched up with is no fucking catch.
He's not Machine Gun Kelly.
No,
but he was like the, you know, the hot commodity in the pods because he had a deep voice.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. I think
I know. I'm gonna apply you.
Yeah. The podcast,
and then our
voice.
Podcast is gonna take
remember
off.
Remember when you put like the voice cell thing in the chat?
The voice cell?
Like based on like how deep your voice is. Like you're either based or cringe.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
You gotta put it back in the chat.
How about you talk to the rest of us like as if we're a part of the show instead of just having a one-on-one with Melissa here?
Well, Melissa can explain it better than me.
It's not really worth explaining.
500 people watching have no idea what you two are talking about.
Well, it's like something that records how deep your voice is.
It was just like a little fun thing.
Like if you're baritone or bass?
It's like amount of hertz.
Talk like this. Don't.
Keep trying, tortoise.
I'm trying, Bert. What can I do?
There's a lot of guys on like the apps who will do that with the voice memos. They'll be like they're just vocal frying to make it their voice deeper, but it's so cringe. It's
vocal
like, oh my God.
Frying? Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
I can't sing, obviously. That goes without saying. And the best parlor trick I could come up with at like school dances is whenever Boyz II Men would come on and the deep guy would talk, baby, I'm sorry. Please forgive me for all the wrong
I've
done. Imagine a 12-year-old sounding like that. what are you gonna do, man? You know, can't sing, gotta do something else. All right,
find your lane.
Let's get to the best tell me you're a wreck without telling me you're a wreck discussion. I'll start. I have 2 pair. The board is double paired.
Right.
Oh, that one. God, I hate that. Or you know what, when it's
you know what?
when it's like 6-6-3 and then they have a 6 and they go, I have a set.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Trips.
Bob Bright was notorious for this one. Paired board gets called at showdown. 2 pair quads.
Yep. I saw that one at South Point not too long ago.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That one happened.
Well, right. Bob's a frequenter of the South Point.
I played with Bob at the South Point on many occasions. Yeah.
It was probably Bob.
Yep.
It might have been Bob.
What about Bob? Another one here. Why do you keep raising preflop?
Right.
Just trying to see
Let
3.
Let us
in. Mm-hmm.
You don't even know what the flop is yet.
It's so good.
Just trying to.
How can you invest so much without knowing what can come?
I never won with aces. That one, that's a good one, yeah. I hate jacks. It's a good one.
I had an absolute beginner say that this guy's writing like an amateur. Several times at a home game. Oh, never mind. He's just replying. That's on me.
Okay.
You know what? That's on me. That's on me. I read a comment to a comment.
Hey, so,
never do that
what's
on
going
Reddit.
On?
Never
He's
do
talking
that.
Talking to himself in an audience about
on Reddit. Let's see. I would have called, but I knew you had it. And then followed up with, did you have it? Oh, I know he had it for sure. Find you after the game. Tell me what you had when I folded.
They love that one.
By the way, these are all Okanisms.
They love that one. I get that in DMs fairly often. Like, what did you have in this hand?
Mm. People love information sharing. Just lie.
Huh?
Just always lie.
Yeah, I tell them.
Tell them some bullshit.
No, I just tell the truth every time it's happened.
All right. Well, if you want to know what she has in hand, I guess you just DM her.
If it's in game, I lie. But yeah. If it's after, I don't care.
So there's this phenomenon playing with Oaken basically every day. He's my favorite caricature of whatever this is. And it's hilarious because, like, obviously he's a winning player, but he does this thing that's very specific to him that I've never seen anybody else do, and that is have a decision every time that it's 4-bet to him, having invested $0. He never has an auto fold. Like, raise, 3-bet, 4-bet, and it's on him.
Tilting.
And, like, he has this long, painful decision that almost always exclusively results in a fold. But what that actually means is somehow, in his brain, he's randomizing between fold and some other action.
Or he's balancing his timing.
No. It's nothing like that. Oh. It's definitely nothing like that. But my point is that there is no hand ever in a 5-bet range that is mixing between fold and some other action. It's either in or it's fucking not, you know? Like, it gets pretty clear cut once you start to get to the 4 and 5-bet mm-hmm. nodes.
Yeah.
You know, you got hands that are in, and then you got hands that are out. And that's kind of it. There isn't a whole lot in between, you know?
Yep. Not a lot there, yeah.
Every time you 4-bet him, he goes, gosh, I was going to 5-bet, and then I didn't.
I think people forget that tournaments are supposed to end, and most of the time they end with people getting coolered by, like, call it losing with ace king versus jacks or kings versus queens, where it's like, I hate this hand. Like, I always lose with this hand. It's like ace king or like queens
or aces
or just aces.
And it's like you know hands, like, that just always go in. And it's like, yeah,
it's like this needs to happen or else we're all just sitting here for weeks on end.
Yeah,
you gotta lose sometime.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, this thread is very underwhelming. Not because everything in it isn't completely true, but man, we must have, every one of these is on a t-shirt somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, generic. Like Rec soul reads the guy and says, I call. Hero at the table, stone nuts. Rec, that's what I thought you had.
That's me.
It's just like always.
I knew you had that.
It's just a social game of saving face mm-hmm. at all times. No matter really what decision you make, it's mm-hmm. always just a matter of like, how can I fold? How can I save it? This actually is my favorite. I fold, I guess. Hero shows a bluff. Man, that was terrible. What are you doing?
Or when you when you pay someone and then. Oh, he could have gotten all of it.
Yeah.
I do that one.
I do that a lot.
Wow, like, I should have gotten stacked.
Yeah, wow. Right. If you just bet the turn.
I basically ran good right there.
how about they get their bluff picked off and they're like, oh, I play aces the same way.
Yeah.
He's like, you call that? I mean, if I had aces there, I would have played it the exact same way.
So. Yeah.
But yeah, you could, like, but you didn't.
But you also play that hand that way too.
Yeah.
I should have gotten stacked.
Probably a whole
there.
Bunch of other ones.
I hate pocket jacks.
How about when they sit down? They're like, "Oh, can I get the scene change button?"
I haven't been in a game where that's allowed in 15 years, and I hope to never play one again.
That's really like that literally like so many times. As soon as they sit down,
because you
scene
play
change button?
At the worst game ever.
That's true.
You've never played the game. Literally, you've never played 2-3.
I have.
I asked you if you ever played 2-3. You told me no. Now you're saying
no.
Yes.
I didn't.
You said you played
3-5.
You played one time.
I played 2-3 and then I moved to 3-5.
It's the best 2-3 game in the city.
It's the only 2-3 game in the city. Well, where else has 2-3?
Okay, so 1-3 at win is the same thing.
I had.
It doesn't sound great if people are snap seat changing and not.
I'm
paying.
Sure they do that. I'm going to the win today. I'm sure they'll do that.
I had a guy come up to me in Bobby's room yesterday and go, huge fan of the podcast, man. I got to tell you, I met Conrad and the Tortoise down at the Jewel of the South. That place is utter ass.
Yeah.
It's hell. It's hell on earth.
Like this, literally
this guy's playing like playing 1-2 or whatever at Bellagio. He's just like, I've never been to a more miserable hellscape than the Jewel of the South.
I can't believe you guys.
That
trash guy's in
knows,
my place
he
here
knows
right
what's
now.
Up.
He's like, but the hot dogs.
Hot
the
dogs
hot
are
dogs,
good.
My friend.
That's like the room is literally packed nonstop. It's 30 tables. It's full.
You can go watch a movie
full
if you want.
Of miserable people.
You can.
I think you're confusing that, like, these low stakes are the same no matter where you go.
Hey, Tortoise, I don't think we're gonna have that meetup game there anymore, buddy.
There's no tables to have the meetup game. They're all full.
Melissa just insulted all of our clientele.
Do you work there, by
yes.
the way?
I got my jeweled soft patch on.
Do you have a reference
I'm come
link
with a
or, jewel you know,
soft
like,
patch.
If you start getting paid, yeah. I will sing the praises of the Jewel of the South. Like, get a rake back deal or something.
Hashtag show for South Point.
It's built in.
Honestly, LaManna would be the absolute perfect ambassador of all time for the South Point Casino. Like he will be the only face.
It's not just the poker room. I mean, the whole establishment is amazing.
Have
you ever been to primarily prime rib? Oh God!
You can go
so
watch
good.
A movie after
Movie's
your session.
Right.
Maybe get a little bowling.
Bingo!
In.
Don't forget about the bingo.
They got the
cash ball is like up to 30,000 right now.
They got the midnight comedy show on Fridays.
Look! Why would they pay him if he's doing all this for free anyway?
That's true. That's true. Bro's putting in the work.
He can't contain his love for the South.
You got to put in the work, man. Crazy. He's out here putting in the work. All right. Anything else you guys want to chat about?
No, I want to go play the main.
All right. I guess Landon's going to go play the main. They've been trying to talk me into it. I don't think... I do have a day off today. I will say that.
You can... Why not?
A day off. A day off,
play
but
maybe
play
win.
I don't think I'm gonna go play, but maybe running deep in a tournament does sound fun for someone else. That's gonna do it for us today. We're gonna be back again tomorrow at noon.
Special guest,
very special guest. The one and only Skimpy is gonna be here.
Yes,
you guys finally get to meet him.
Get to meet Skimpy,
Landon.
He knows about the penny jar days.
You're going to have a blast.
Finally.
Yay!
Be sure to like, subscribe, comment. Don't forget that we do have the final episode of Poker Out Loud came out earlier this week. It is up on solveforwhy.io. We have a brief trailer for it, but we're going to run that another time since we already got the outro music playing. We'll be back again tomorrow at noon Pacific. Be sure to tune in then.
Peace.
See ya.